Okay, but this week is Parashas Devarim Shabbos Chazoin. We begin a new Chumash. And the beginning of a new Chumash obviously is very significant. It's very significant, especially the fact that we're learning the Parsha, we're learning the new Chumash Erev Tishvav, not just Erev Tishvav, Mamash Tishvav Bo Bayom. Tomorrow is Mamash Tishvav. And I believe the opening pasuk in the parsha and the chumash really is the message of Tisha B'Av. It's Eile Hadvarim Ashadim Moshel Kol Yishal Eiver Hayarden. Moshe speaks in code Eiver Hayarden Bamidbar Bo Arava Moel Suf Bein Paran Uvein Toifel V'Lavon V'Chatzeros V'Di Zahav. And Rashi, you all know the thing. Rashi says that this is Toichacha. The entire Sefer Dvarim are words of Toichacha, which obviously fit very much into the theme of Tisha B'Av. Lefi Shehein Divrei Toichachos, being that the entire Sefer is a Sefer of Toichacha. Umonekan Kol HaMakoyim Shechisu Lefnei HaMakoyim Bohen. And Moshe here is coming to enumerate all of the locations where Klal Yisrael angered HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lefich, therefore, sosam es hadvarim v'hiskiron biremes. So Moshe, he spoke in very vague terms. Mibnei, here are the key words. The very first pasuk of Dvarim, mibnei kivoidon shel Yisrael. The kavod of Klal Yisrael. Hafli v'fela. The opening pasuk of Chumash Dvarim, we'll read tomorrow, Kriyas HaTorah, is a pasuk in the lesson. There is the kavod of Klal Yisrael. Now that has many. The concept is a very powerful concept, and it has many meanings. First of all, don't think just because Chas V'Shalom we have experienced a churban by Yisrushim, by Yisheni, and all the national tragedies and all the sorrows which are all packaged in Tisha B'Av. You have to understand Toichacha includes within it the Kavodon Shel Yisrael. It's a day of honor for Klal Yisrael that we're worthy that a Kadosh Baruch Hu should seek to perfect us, to instruct us, to punish us, that we should become better people. It's not a punishment just to throw us in jail, to throw us out of the land. It's the Kavodon Shel Yisrael. And therefore Moshe Rabbeinu was sensitive to this and did not just speak and just give out words of Toichacha. He spoke in very delicate terms, because you have to understand Toichacha is the Kavodon Shel Yisrael. Tisha B'Av is a day of honor. There's no nation in the world that celebrates the day they lost the battle. It doesn't exist. And in fact, go study modern history. All of the countries that lost wars, on the day they lost the war, they celebrated. There was a victory. They rewrite history, and they on a day that's truly a tragedy for the country, they don't pay attention. There's no July 4th in Britain. They celebrate July 4th?
No, it's July 4th.
This is July 4th. No. But they don't celebrate...
We memorialize, they call it Pearl Harbor.
We memorialize Pearl Harbor as a day of tragedy.
Right. Yeah.
As a day of tragedy. That's a Jewish concept. It's a memorial. Okay, but it's a day of Kavodon Shel Yisrael. It's a day that we acknowledge HaKadosh Baruch Hu was speaking to us, he was trying to perfect us, and therefore this is a very powerful message right here in the very first pasuk of the parasha. And in addition, Moshe Rabbeinu is sensitive to the honor. If Moshe, the leader of Klal Yisrael, is sensitive to our honor, Al Achas Kam V'Kama, how much we have to be sensitive to the honor of Ben Adam L'Chaveray. The Churban Bayis Sheni came about because of the Chet of Sinas Chinam. The Chet of Sinas Chinam is synonymous with not appreciating the honor, the respect of one's fellow man. If Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest of all men, and rightfully he has the power and the right to give Musar to Klal Yisrael, and he was sensitive to the Kavodon, Allah has come v'kama, how much we need to be sensitive to the Kavod of each person. Okay, let's go to another idea. Later in the parasha, I'm going to jump around a little bit. Later in the parasha, this touches upon the same idea of kavod and honor. We come to Moshe telling Klal Yisrael, "Havu lochem anoshim chachamim unevoyim viduim l'shivteichem." I want you to present gesundheit. Present for me leaders. Moshe Rabbeinu says, "I can't do it on my own. I have to prepare for what's going to come next." I want you to present anoshim chachamim unevoyim. Chacham means wise. Nevoinim means mevin davar mitoich davar. Viduim, they should be well known. They should have a reputation. People should take their words seriously. L'shivteichem. And then he says, I will take these men that have these four qualifications. Anoshim, chachamim, unevoinim, viduim. And then va'asimem b'rosheichem. And appoint them as your leaders. Rashi, let's go jump ahead. Yes, we're going to do this. And Moshe then says, I took your leaders. Anoshim chachamim viduim. Notice there's something missing. The Nevoinim. And Rashi alludes to this, and he says that that they could not find. They searched midon v'ad be'er sheva, even though they were in the Midbar, and they could not find a good man, a man that had the quality of Navon. And in fact, Rashi, there were more midos that Yisrael recommended, Yirei Elokim, Anshei Emes, Soni Botza. No one, these men cannot be found. But at least here in this parasha, explicitly what is lacking is Navon. Okay, so you got to make do with the best that you have. So what did Moshe Rabbeinu do? V'atenoi some, I took them. I made them Roshim Aleichem. And he goes on to say, Sorei Alefim, Sorei Meos, Sorei Chamishim, Sorei Asveos, V'shutim L'shifteichem. I have a very small diyuk. Okay, clearly this diyuk is a very insignificant diyuk, but I want to bring you a shoulder word that says in Rashi, and maybe take note that there's something over here. When Moshe asked Klal Yisrael to present candidates for leadership, he used the word va'asimeim b'rosheichem. There's a base. B'rosheichem. It's one word. It's not va'asimeim al aleich. It's one word. In contrast to when Moshe actually accepted them, it says v'ateino som roshim aleichem. The word is broken up into two. There is no base. I didn't va'asimeim b'rosheichem. It doesn't say that Moshe appointed them b'rosheichem, one word with the base, but rather I appointed them roshim, leaders, aleichem. We break up the word b'rosheichem into two words, roshim aleichem. The Targum translates both of these expressions exactly the same. Targum, when it says in the previous pasuk, ve'emaninun reshin aleichoin, b'rosheichem, and when Moshe indeed appointed them, it says the same exact words, reshin aleichoin. So the Targum seems to indicate that there's really no significant difference between these expressions. It's just a grammatical form. They're exactly the same, b'rosheichem or roshin aleichem. Yet Rashi, if you read between the lines in Rashi, there's a little bit of a difference. Rashi, when he says, I want to go appoint them roshim v'asimeim b'rosheichem, it says here, v'asimeim b'rosheichem roshim, leaders, u'michubadim, and distinguished members of the community, aleichem, shetihiyu noihagin bohem kovod, honor, v'yira. And fear. You give honor and you're afraid. The fear factor. Okay, I remember, I'm showing you in yeshiva, there were rebbeim that you liked, and then there were rebbeim that you were afraid of. There's a certain koyach of being afraid of a person. It's very interesting. Yeah. It's very interesting to have a situation where you're afraid of a person. Rashi later, when he finally appoints the people and he says Roshim Aleichem, when the word is broken up into two parts, what does it say? It says Shetinahagu Bohem Kovot. When Moshe Rabbeinu finally went and he found people that have these qualities, Anoshim Chachamim Viduim, without Nevonim, and I appointed them Roshim Aleichem. We break up the word into two parts. It says shetinhagu bohem kovoid, roshim b'mekach, roshim b'memkar, roshim b'mas uv'maton, nichnas mibeisa lebeisa knesses achron v'yotze rishon. Rashi only mentions kovoid. Rashi omits yira. Haloidovar. We have here the request, Roshim b'Roshechem. Actuality, those who were presented to get the jobs were appointed Roshim Aleichem. From one word we went to two words. Seemingly there really is no difference in expression. It's very common, you can take a word and you put the chaf at the nem at the end, which basically serves in the place of Aleichem. And you can put a bez also b'Roshim. Targum says they're exactly the same. The Targum does not make a difference in the translation. Yet Rashi seems to indicate there's a difference. There is a difference. When it's one word with the base, Biroshechem, I will appoint them Biroshechem, that has more of a ring to it, more of an intensity, more of a potency, which means these are the leaders. They're leaders in every respect. You give them honor and you have fear. They have a certain quality of integrity. And leadership, natural leadership, you're afraid of them. They possess the fear factor. But when Moshe actually appointed them as leaders, the people weren't afraid of them. It was just, they were politicians. They were just, okay, these are our leaders. They were Russian. These are our leaders. You go first, you come into the shul, you go first, you sit in the first chair, you go, you walk out last, and you, when it comes into a store, you get the better deal, you don't have to pay taxes. Roshim Aleichem, we're missing the days, we're taking that one word, it's not Biroshechem. They're Roshim, they're leaders, Aleichem. And Rashi says, it was Kovoid, they Mekach Rishon, and they come in first, they go out first, it's not the same. Why is it not the same? So I believe the answer is because they're lacking Novon. Moshe Rabbeinu felt, even though Yisrael was maybe shooting for the stars, he wanted there to be Yirei Hashem, Soni Betzah, and other qualities, Moshe felt at least it was realistic to find four qualities. Anoshim, which means Tzadikim, Chachomim, Nevoinim, Viduim. But in actuality, there were no Nevoinim. When there's no Nevoinim, the entire equation is not the same. The entire mix, a person is a tzaddik, and he's a chacham, and he is a yadua, but doesn't possess the quality of a novon, it's not the same tzaddik. It doesn't have the same reputation. He's not the same chacham. When you're missing one piece of the puzzle, the entire equation changes. The person is a different person. And people, they were leaders. They were leaders. They were respectful leaders. People had respect. But you don't have that fear factor, that quality. It's a gift. You can't describe it. I remember when I was in yeshiva, we had a menahel, Rav Chaim Siegel, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. We always wondered, where does it come from that when he walks in the room, we're terrified. We're terrified. He used to proctor the regents. There was no cheating. When he was in the room, there was no cheating. Because there was a fear factor. Why? Why are we afraid of him? No one can identify. I had a friend who became a menahel. And he says, you know, I work very hard, but I don't have the fear factor. The students are not... What?
Some people have presence.
So where does it come from, presence?
You either have it or you don't.
It is some divine gift. It has to be that it comes from a certain degree of I'm suggesting it comes from novel. Here, that's the only difference between the two. Moshe demanded Anoshim, Chachomim, Nevoinim, Viduim. He only got Anoshim, Chachomim, Viduim. He didn't get the Nova. And what's the difference? The difference is, Moshe wanted Biroshechem, which has a certain Toikef intensity to it, and Moshe only was able to achieve Roshim Aleichem. Rashi makes the difference. There's no Yira. The difference is, there's kavod, there is, but it's not yira. It shows that there's something to work on. Mevin dover mitoch dover has a connotation of taking something very seriously. You can be a tzaddik, you follow the rules. You can be a chacham, you can be a wise man, you can spend a lot of time studying. You can have a good reputation. Novel, what is novel? Mevin davar mitoich davar. It means to apply yourself. You learned something. You learned something. Very good. I learned something. I spent 20 hours tackling the issue. I finally come to an understanding. If that's where it stops, you're not a novel. If you take what you've studied, what you've learned, and now let's apply it. Let's be mevin davar mitoch davar. That shows a certain degree positive yira shamayim. That's a certain. You take it seriously. It's not just theoretical. It's something which has to be applied. That ability to take what you learn and be true, nohe doyresh, nohe mekayim, to go to the next level, is what gives a person a unique quality where he becomes a person that people are afraid of. It creates in the person the fear factor. Yeah?
Maybe I would phrase it as there are people who command respect because of who and what they are, as opposed to respect for the position that they hold.
Right. But it's different, right. But the people themselves that are of a higher quality. Okay, let's go to another idea. Let's relate a little bit to Tisha B'Av. There's a beautiful vart from the Brisker Rav, from Yitzhak Zev Salavechek. It's a classic vart. He asked the question, Eile HaDvarim Asher, the Pasha begins, Asher Dibbe Moshe El Kol Yisrael. We begin with Moshe speaking to Klal Yisrael, and everything he mentions is B'derech Remes. Every single phrase or word in this Pasuk, Be'eder HaYarden, is one event. Bamidbar is another event. Barava is another sin. Mol Sof, Paran, Tofel, Lavan, Chatzeros, V'dizahav. I don't even want to say what you did, Rabbi Isaiah. I don't want to even mention it. I just want to say B'derech Remes. Then later, when we go down a few psukim, Ach Be'ever HaYarden, B'yeretz Moyav, Hoyil Moshe, Moshe began Be'er, to explain, to elaborate, to elucidate. Es HaTorah Hazos Leimar. And then you know what he does? He basically goes through all of the sins they committed, Bamidbar Barava, and boy, does he elaborate. Does he elaborate? Does he give you a play-by-play report of what happened, what you did wrong? The whole Chumash Devarim basically is an elaboration of the Remes. The question is, what's going on? First, Moshe Rabbeinu is Merames. He speaks Derech Remes. And then later on, he comes to elaborate. Man of Shach, if you want to elaborate, elaborate. We don't need the first pasuk. If you want to be Gibber Remes, we don't need the whole Chumash Devarim, pretty much. Just be Merames, and that's good enough. So what is going on? So, Rav Soloveitchik answers as follows. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu is a typical brisk of art. They had Tzvei Dinim in Moshe Rabbeinu. There's Moshe Rabbeinu Midin Novi, and there's Moshe Rabbeinu Midin Rebbe. Moshe Rabbeinu, he served a double role for Klal Yisrael. We say in the Animamins, Animamim Moshe Rabbeinu, Shenivuas Moshe Rabbeinu, is the Roish Amidus. And it's the Roish HaNevi'im. There's one Animamim for all the Nevi'im, and there's a special Animamim just for Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is the Roish of the Nevi'im, and his Nevu is Amitis. This is one Animam. And then the very next Animam is, I believe in the Torah's Moshe Rabbeinu, Shaloi Tehei Muchlefes, Vloi Tehei Atara Cheres, Me'es Abar Yisparach Shemo. Back to back, two of the 13 Animams are devoted to Moshe Rabbeinu. Why do you have to have two Animams? If Moshe Rabbeinu is the Roish HaNevi'im and he's Emes, and Moshe is the Roish, Moshe's Nevu is Emes, doesn't that L'chor include it in the Torah? The Torah's Moshe Rabbeinu is not in Muchlefes? It's all the same. Why did the Ram have to break up Moshe Rabbeinu into two parts, two Animams? The whole Torah is a form of prophecy. Everything that Moshe Rabbeinu gave over to Klal Yisrael was given over from Midin of a prophet. So what is Moshe Rabbeinu coming along? This the Torah's Moshe Rabbeinu, Lo'itei Muchlefes, Amitis, is not going to be exchanged. The answer is exactly what the Rambam is coming to bring out, what it says here from the Rav Soloveitchik, is Moshe Rabbeinu, there are Tzvei Din and Moshe Rabbeinu. There's the Navi and there's a Din Rebbe. When it comes to a Din Navi, Chazoin, it's a vision. Nevuah is never said in detail. Nevuah is always said B'derech Remes. A prophet, he reveals, he gives over bits of information which is subject to much interpretation. That is the derech of a Navi. A Navi says something in very vague terms. A Rebbe's role is be'er heitev, to properly to explain, to elaborate, to elucidate, to give over every single detail to the Talmud, so the Talmud should understand everything that he needs to know. So Mamela Moshe Rabbeinu, he taught Klal Yisrael the Musar in two different Ifanim. Midin Navi, I'm going to give it to you the Derech Remes. Midin Rebbe, I'm going to give you the Musar Be'er Heitev. But the Kvoidin Shel Yisrael only applies Midin Navi. But I'm your Rebbe. I'm your Rebbe. I have to go sit down with you and explain to you what you did wrong and how you have to correct your ways. There are two dinim in Moshe Rabbeinu. This is the first lesson in the parasha. And it's very interesting that on Tisha B'Av, the Kinois, we focus on two very different groups of people in the Kinois. We focus on the Nevi'im, the failure for Klal Yisrael to properly listen to Yirmiyah. One of the major kinis, Vayikoinein Yirmiyahu al Yoshiyahu. What was the chait of Yoshiyahu? Yoshiyahu did not listen to Yirmiyah. He failed to listen. Yirmiyah told him, allow Paro Necho to go through the land. I'm telling you that you're making a mistake. Klal Yisrael, they're not on a level where they deserve the blessing, the Cher of Lesavar B'Yartzechem. We have two or three kinos devoted to the murder. So it's always the chayin yirmiyah. He failed to listen to the Navi. We focus on the Navi. We have the kinos, the kin of Zechariah ben Yehoyada, the murder of Zechariah ben Yehoyada. He was standing in the Beis HaMikdash. He was giving Musar to Klal Yisrael. It was Shabbos. It was Yom Kippur. He was the Navi. He was a Kohen. And he was telling them not to worship idols. And what did Klal Yisrael do to Zechariah ben Yehoyada? They murdered him. They rebelled against the Navi. That's one theme, major theme in the Kinos. An appreciation of the Nevi'im and the Chatoim that we are guilty for not listening to the Nevi'im, the prediction that the Churban is going to come, what Yoshiyahu did to Yirmiyahu, or we did not obey Yirmiyahu, Zechariah ben Yehoyada, who was the Navi, who was murdered, that's one thing. And then there's another major theme in the Kinos, and that is the Asara Haruge Malchus. Asara Haruge Malchus are the teachers of Klal Yisrael. They're not prophets. No one ever said Rabbi Akiva was a Navi, Chas v'Shalom, not so. But these are the Rabban Shel Yisrael. These are the teachers. Talk about the four kinos devoted to the First Crusade. And we describe in great detail who were these people. These are the Baalei Tosfos. This mamsh, the Daf Yomi now is Masechta Meruba. And Masechta Meruba, the Tosfos, they were written mamish at this court, the time when they were killed. Day before they were killed is when they finished writing these Tosfos on these difficult Masechtas. These are the teachers of Klal Yisrael. These are the two major things that we mourn. We mourn for our lack of appreciation for the Talmidei and the Rebbeim and for the prophets. And that fits very much into the beginning of this parasha. We open up, Shabbos Chazen is always Parashas Devarim. The first lesson of Devarim is, Eile ha Devarim asher diber Moshe. The Ershtu Moshe is Midin Navi. Everything is set over in one pasuk. Few psukim down. Pasuk hey. Be'er hayardin nochamal. Be'er itzmayav hoyl Moshe. Be'er esat Torah hazayz. And what does he start doing? He starts going through one by one. Be'er hayardin ba'midbar, one chet after another chet. All the sins that they rebel. That goes on to the entire Chumash Devarim. The opening lesson is you have to have an appreciation for your leaders, the leaders midin Navi, and the leaders that are Talmidei Chachamim, and this is what we mourn for on Tisha B'Av. Okay, let's go to another idea. This year, we discussed this during the week a few times, it's a very unique year, in that Tisha B'Av is Shabbos. In fact, the Gemara says that one of the Amoraim said that if it was up to me, we would no longer have Tisha B'Av anymore. If it was up to me, it's not Kedai. And the Tosfos there says, it doesn't mean we're not going to have Tisha B'Av. You can't say that. It means that in the year when Tisha B'Av is Chal B'Shabbos, in such a year you don't have to have Tisha B'Av altogether because Tisha B'Av is Shabbos. So Shabbos you don't fast. Sunday, new cave on the Nidchen. Once already we missed out, we don't have to observe. We don't follow that. But There's something very unique and very different when Tisha B'Av is Chal the Shabbos. And I want to give an example, just it's a bit of a drush. Once said this over in a different context. The idea is, the Chazal take note of Mizmar that begins with the words Mizmar L'Asaf Bohu Goyim B'Nacha L'Asaf B'Nacha L'Ascha. Is that the word B'Nacha L'Ascha? I don't remember what it is. B'Nacha L'Ascha. The Asaf said a Mizmar that the Goyim have come into your inheritance. Chazal asked the question, Mizmar L'Asaf, if this Mizmar goes on to describe B'Kum Beis HaMikdash, should it not say Kina L'Asaf B'Boyalei? Would it not be correct for the Mizmar to begin with a lament? A Kina? How can Asaf begin with the word Mizmar? And the Gemara answers, you're right, it really should begin with Kina, but being that HaKadosh Baruch Hu poured out his anger on Eitzim V'Avonim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu really should have poured out his anger on Klal Yisrael. It should have been the end of Klal Yisrael. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in exchange for destroying Klal Yisrael, he poured out his anger on the Beis HaMikdash, and by doing so he preserved Klal Yisrael. Indeed, it is a mizmor, it is a song. It is a song that Hashem allowed the Goyim to come into Eretz Yisrael, but in exchange to save us. It's a mizmor. On Shabbos, we have the custom to sing Zemiros. Right? We sing Zemiros. Balava Malka, we sing Zemiros. The kinois Chazal have taught us are not really kinois. The kinois are really Zemiros. In a regular year, well, Shabbos is over, comes Tisha B'Av, it says in the Siddur, kinois, it's kinois. But this year, we do not make Havdalah until Matzoy Shabbat, until Sunday night. If we don't make Havdalah until Sunday night, that means that the Kedusha Shabbos, it lingers. It lingers throughout the entire day. Therefore, the kinois are truly an expression of Zimra, of song. Now let me explain to you what I mean. And there's a certain type of song. First time we find Klal Yisrael preparing for Golus is when Yaakov Avinu sends his sons to Mitzrayim, and he says, Yosef, who is then disguised, the Mishnah Lamelech says, "You don't you dare come down to me unless you bring with you Binyamin. I'm not going to allow this to happen." And finally, Yaakov, after a period of time, acquiesces. He says, "Okay, fine. Im kein zos efo asu." Give me one moment to find the pasuk. It's Perek Mem Gimel Pasuk Yud Aleph. In Perek Mem Gimel Pasuk Yud Aleph, the pasuk says, Yaakov says, "V'yayomer aleihem Yisrael, aviham im kein if so efo zosasu. If so, this is what you should do: kichu take mizimras haaretz." When you're going to go down to Mitzrayim and you're going to see the Mishnah Lamelech, give him a gift. Give him from the Zimras. What does it mean, the Zimras Aretz? The Targum says, Midim Shabach, a gift from the best. The best the land has to offer as a gift to Yosef, to the Mishnah Lamelech. Bich Lechem, V'horidu Le'ish, a mincha, meal offering, Ma'at, mincha means a gift. Ma'at Suri, Ma'at Vash, different types of spice, honey, nechois, velot, botnim, ushikedim. Present, this is the Zimras Haaretz that you are to present to the Mishnah Lamelech. Rabbi Wolfson, in his Sefer Munas Yitech, has a beautiful word. He cites a source that says, Mizimras Haaretz means, bring him a song, a melody. So what are you going to go give Paro, the Mishnah Lamelech, that he doesn't already have? What can you give the man he doesn't already have? Presenting with an original nigun, compose a nigun that only can come from Eretz Yisrael. The Kedushas Haaretz creates an atmosphere where you're brought to sing Shevach V'Hoidah to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Present him with a nigun that comes not from Jamaica, not from Mexico, not from who knows where, Indonesia. Presented Mizimras Haaretz, a song of the land of Eretz Yisrael. This will certainly inspire the Mishnah Lamelech. You see over here, this concept is that there's Zemirois and there's Zemirois. There's a Zimras Ha'aretz. This year, Tisha B'Av, the Kinois are the Zimras Ha'aretz, is the song of the land. That's what I understand. Here, Yaakov Avinu already sensed what's going on. We're going down to Mitzrayim. Take with you, when you go down to Mitzrayim, the chiba, the love of Eretz Yisrael. Yaakov wasn't just preparing a gift for Paro. He was preparing his children. When you're going to go down to Eretz Yisrael and you get comfortable there with the Mishnah Lamelech, don't forget where you come from. When you'll be singing the song to Paro, when you'll be singing the song to Paro, the Mishnah Lamelech, you'll be reminded of the beauty of where you have come from and will long to return to the land you're sherish. It was a very clever technique that Yaakov Avinu was employing his children. You're going to go down, you're going to be there for a long time, he's going to take you into the palace, you're going to present the beautiful gifts, you'll get to say, you know, maybe it's not so bad here. And you know, in Mitzrayim, they have electricity, they have good Wi-Fi, and Eretz Yisrael, it's not so great. If you'll do mincha, the gift you will present will be the zimra, the song of Eretz Yisrael. You won't forget where you come from. This year, Tisha B'Av, we're not saying kinos because Shabbos isn't over until Sunday night. You didn't say Havdalah. You don't say Havdalah, Shabbos lingers on. Kinos? Not kinos. Mizmor la'asaf. Mizmor la'asaf. Kino yivayalei. No. A kina and a mizmor, one and the same. It's really a zimra. And what is the zimra? What are the kinois? The kinois take us back to Kichu Lochem Mizimras Haaretz Bechlechem. We're singing the song of the longing, the mourning and the yearning of Eretz Yisrael Nebeis HaMikdash on Tisha B'Av is truly the Zimras Haaretz. Okay, let's go to another idea. Chazal tell us that Lo Hoyu Yomim Tovim Li Yisrael Kitu B'Av. There were 2 days in the Jewish calendar that were the ultimate days of celebration. Yom HaKippurim and the 15th day of. The Gemara asks why. What is so special about these 2 days? So the Gemara is a long discussion basically on Yom HaKippurim. It's Kapara. What more could you possibly want? Vayomer Hashem Solachti Chidvorecha. That's the wrong pasuk, right? That's the pasuk by the eagle. But that's the pasuk. Vayomer Hashem Solachti Chidvorecha. That's Meragim. Okay, so wrong pasuk. But the Hashem forgave Klal Yisrael for the chet or eagle on Yom Kippur. Every year, it's a day of slicha v'chapara, and that's why it's a day of great celebration. But what is so special about Tu B'Av? And the Gemara gives a whole series of answers. One answer is because the Harugei Beitar were given for burial. But one of the important answers the Gemara gives is that the Meisei Midbar stopped dying. The Meisei for 40 years in the desert, not only 40, really 37 years in the desert, for 37 because the first 2 years no one died. The first year nothing happened. The second year is when they sinned. So no one died when they actually sinned. And the last year no one died either. The last year when they went and no one died, the 40th year. So for 37 years, on the night of Tisha B'Av, they were instructed, the day before everyone should dig a grave. All 600,000 men who were there at the time of the Tisha B'Av should dig a grave and go into the grave. And then in the morning, not everyone, approximately 20,000 people every single year did not wake up. Did not wake up every single year. And this is a very frightening experience to dig your own grave and wonder if you're going to wake up the next morning. When did this come to an end? This came to an end on the last year, on the 39th year. It was the 40th year, did not happen. And then everyone dug a grave. They assumed there's going to be people are going to die. And guess what? Everyone woke up. They said to themselves, it must have made a mistake in the calculation. What? The
people themselves, the survivors, the people themselves who experienced, there were still people. Hashem forgave some of them. No, no, the old generation. The left, not everyone, the old, the people that were, the old generation.
2.5%.
There were people that were still, there were 20,000 in the last year, there were 20,000 people. There were still left, there were leftover people. Hashem forgave, the last batch were forgiven. But there was some confusion, exactly. There were whatever, this is what it says in Chazal. There were a group of people who went and dug graves, and the night of the test off passed, and they all were alive. They said to themselves, it must be that we made a mistake in the calendar. It must be that we're off by a day. So they did the same thing the next night, and the next night, and the next night, until they saw in the sky, there's a full moon. If there's a full moon in the sky, obviously we're past the ninth day of Av. It cannot be there will be a full moon. And they realized that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has forgiven the remainder of the survivors, and therefore it was a day of great, great simcha. They knew that Pasku may say Midbar. Now, Chazal go a little further. They say, that's not really the simcha. The Gemara says, the simcha was, so they stopped dying. So what? When they stopped dying, the Shechina returned to Moshe Rabbeinu. The communication channel was once again opened. Vayomer Hashem Eli, Gemara says, Eli Hoya Hadibor. When the Nesei Midbar stopped dying, the communication channel was reopened.
That's it. Now everybody, you got to this juncture, you're going to make it.
You're going to make it this point. So Moshe Rabbeinu was once again able to receive words, communication with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Now, there is a very fascinating Chazal that tell us that this, even though it's true, seemingly on a very simple level, that all the 37 years they died was not necessarily true. Because a year in which Tisha B'Av was Chal on Shabbos, that year the Mesei Midbar did not die. And they proved this. There's a complex calculation. The Chasam Sofer has the calculation because it says the Gemara 20,000. I don't know the calculation, but basically in 37 years, I think 7 or 8 of those 37 years, the Shabbos, Tisha B'Av comes out on Shabbos. And therefore we have to adjust the calculation. And the research calculation, this is what? They didn't dig. They didn't have to dig because it was known. It was known that if Tish Abav Shechal Lihi Yois B'Shabbos, no one died. In those years was a break. So now here's what I want to make. Let's find an analogy. Let's talk about the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. According to most of the commentators, the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, they died all the way straight from Pesach, from Pesach, all the way through Shavuot, straight through. There were some days they did not die. It was a big machlokes, many, many people. But everyone agrees they did not die on Lag B'Omer. Lag B'Omer was a day when no one died.
They died on Shabbos.
What? It's a question. That's a question. That's a discussion. Some say, nah, that's a discussion. That is part of the discussion. But one thing is certain. Everyone agrees that Talmidei Rabbi Akiva did not die on Lag B'Omer. Even if they continue to die after Lag B'Omer, according to some opinions, all the way up until Shavuos, they did not die on Lag B'Omer. And that is why, according to all Minhagim, whether you're this minute, that minute, whatever you want to do, there is a Yom Tov. Lag B'Omer is a day you don't say Tachm. Lag B'Omer is a day which is a minor holiday. What do you see? You see that if already you get a taste in the middle of what it's going to be like at the end, that already turns that day into a Yom Tov. Lag B'Omer, they didn't die. But they're going to die tomorrow, they're going to die the next day. It's already, a ray of hope. We already see
light
at the end of the tunnel. We see a glimpse of what it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's is going to come to an end. In a year, Shetish above Shechal Liyos B'Shabbos, they didn't die. That's like Lag B'Omer. That's already a glimpse of what's going to be. It's going to come a time Shepasku Mesei Midbar. And what had happened the day Shepasku Mesei Midbar? Lo Hoyu Yomim Toivim Li Yisrael Kitu B'Av. There was no such holiday for Klal Yisrael like Tu B'Av. The Simcha Shepasku Mesei Midbar. Hashem forgave Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu, the Shechina was restored. Moshe Rabbeinu's line was reestablished. Nimela on a Shabbos Shechal Liyos V'Tishvav is a me'ein of Lohayu Yomim Tovim Yisrael Kitu B'Av. Tomorrow is a very special day. Tomorrow is not just Tisha B'Av. Tomorrow is Tisha B'Av, Shechaliyos B'Shabbos. Tisha Shechaliyos B'Shabbos, Pasku Meisei Midbar. Pasku Meisei Midbar. Tomorrow is a day, Lohayu Yom Tovim LeYisrael. The Shechina, we get a taste. The Shechina is coming back to Klal Yisrael. Tomorrow is the day, this is the Suda. The only time we have a Suda that it's called in Shulchan Aruch, Kisu'udas Shloimei B'Shaita. A nusach in Shulchan Aruch. You can eat whatever you want. Chazal the Mish Shulchan Aruch, they don't have to say Shloimei, eat whatever you want. You can eat more than two tafshilin. Kisu'udas Shloimei B'Shaita, it's a very special tkufa tomorrow. Tisha B'Av B'Chlal is a Yom Moed. It's a day of a festival. Kora Alai Moed. It's a festival. You don't say Tachtan Mashiach is born. It's going to one day be turned into the day of the Mashiach comes. But more, Shle Paschal Beisim Midbar. It's already in the end of Tu B'Av, and not just Stam Tu B'Av. The Tu B'Av of Lo Yoham Lo Hayavim Tovim LiYisrael. Okay, now what I want to do now for the last couple of minutes. Is I want to go over with you one kina, which I spent a lot of time on, and I think it's a very powerful kina. It's a very powerful message in the kina. Kina chafches. They have here some more kinas. I just hope they have the page number. It seems they don't have. Unfortunately, these are outdated. These kinas. What? It's kina chavches. I'll tell you one moment. Let me find it. Eich tinachamuni hevel. I'm looking for it. Give me a moment. It's on page 40. Okay, if you have a regular kinois. If you have a regular kinois, it's kina chof ches. If you have one of these kinois, the paper kinois is on page 40, in the middle of the page. Eich tenachamuni hevel. This kina, this we're going to say, what? Page. Therefore, we have 40 on line. All right. Okay, either 40 or 41. It begins Eich tenachamuni hevel. Now, this kina is in honor of Rav Michal. Because this kina really classically touches upon the Dalid Malchios. So we have here the world-renowned expert in the Dalid Malchios, the one who wrote a sefer presenting 60 themes. A sefer that's one of a kind. 60 themes in the Dalid Malchios. This kina is a kina that is devoted primarily to the Dalid Malchios. But I want to show you there's a lot more in the Dalid Malchios that is hidden in this kina. And I want to try to bring out a couple of ideas. This kina, I believe, captures Al pi ruach hakodesh from the Kaliyah, the history of Klal Yisrael, specifically the suffering of Klal Yisrael from beginning to end. Let me show you what I mean. Let's go through. Eich tenachamuni hevel. How can you comfort me with words of futility? Dichinari, my harp nepach le'evel. My harp, my object of song, has turned into mourning. Now we begin the first national tragedy in the history of Klal Yisrael. B'nachalas chevel koved olai od seva. What is nachalas chevel? The inheritance chevel. Yaakov chevel nachalasa. Who is the inheritance of Yaakov? His children. The shivim nefesh asher yardu l'mitzroyim. Koved olai od sevel. Sevel is a code word for the Shibud Mitzrayim. Vayetze Moshe Elechov, Vayar Bisiv Loisa. Oh, so right away from the very right away, I think it fits perfectly into the Nusach. This is the first national tragedy, Golos Mitzrayim. Right? I think it fits, really fits. Next. Ve'echanochem. Bezeyoyin b'chol shana. What's the next tragedy? The next national tragedy appears to be the Meraglim. The Meraglim came back on the night of Tisha B'Av. Vayivku, I've got the pasuk of Yivku Shama Amba Laila Hahu. They cried that night. It was the Bechiya Shel Chinam. And because they cried for nothing, they listened to the slander of the Meraglim. So the day that they cried on, the night that they cried on, was transformed into a day of mourning for all generations. And I think it says that Mamash explicitly here in this law line. Bezeyom. Maybe it would be more precise if we'd say Bezelaila, but it's still the same idea. Bechol Shana. Idan has been transformed. Idan means to change. Olai Shish. Idan means the time. Idan means the time. Olai Shina. The time has been transformed. In other words, this day was a good day. It was a day that was a happy day. But because we cried for no reason, this day has been transformed forever. The Hinani Aguma, Aguma V'Aguna Yoyser Me'Elef Shana, which means, Mamish, Yoyser Me'Elef Shana, since time immemorial, since that fateful night when the Meraglim came back and they slandered, and they said that Eretz Yisrael is not a place that we can inhabit, we can conquer, and they cried a Lechia Sholchidam, from then on, and so this is very controversial, by the way, because many people don't understand what this means. And they say, what does it mean Yoyser Me'Elef Shana? They change the Nusach. There's a lot of controversy if this is the correct Nusach of Yoyser Me'Elef Shana. It feels like it's too long. Who wrote this? What are you referring to? Yeah. But if you learn that this line refers to the Chet of the Meraglim, the Meraglim, the second national tragedy in Klal Yisrael, they came back and they slandered Eretz Yisrael, and therefore Hashem says, you want to cry B'chiya Shel Chinam? I'm going to make this day into you, into a day, I'm going to transform into a day of B'chiya L'doyres. Then it fits. Yoyser Me'Elef Shana is the expression which means forever, until Mashiach comes. Okay, so therefore, that is the second national tragedy. Third national tragedy. Govar Choron v'Nignaz Aron. Now, no one knows what this means. I looked, everyone says Nignaz Aron means Yoshiyahu. The only place they have in Tanakh the Aron was put in Geniza is only one place. And what is that? Yoshiyahu. Yoshiyahu put the Aron in Geniza. The problem is it does not fit in the timeline. It does not fit. So therefore, we are forced, brute force, to suggest that this refers to the Chorban of Shiloh. The Chorban of Shiloh was accompanied by the Aron being captured. He nilkach, being taken, doesn't say they were captured, it's being taken. And the Kalir, who's the Vachab of the Skina, in very delicate terms, didn't want to say was captured, put in Geniza. Is that fair to say? The Aron was Nignas. It was Nignas, it was hidden from us. That's the third national tragedy, the Churban of Shiloh after 369 years. Govacham with Nignas Aron, B'mishneh Shiloh, and a double break. What's the double breaking? The double breaking is the Shiloh was destroyed and the Aron was captured. There were two major tragedies. B'msarve Marom, due to the sins of those who served in the Beis HaMikdash. Maron, those who are refused, Maron in rebellion, those who are the Chatas HaNa'arim, Chofni U'Pinchas, due to their sins, Mishkan Shili was destroyed, Mishkan was destroyed, the Arun was captured, Nignazara. Next, that is Churban 3, Churban number 4, keep track of the numbers. What's the next national tragedy? Dirosi Chareva, the Edri Nishpa, my flock has been exiled. V'rabas ohaliva bodod yoshas. Clear as day that this refers to the goals of the Aseres Hashvatim. This ohola and ohaliva. That's the kino of Shemrai. Ohaliva is the Tushvatim, Malchus of Yehuda. Ohola is the Malchus of Aseres Hashvatim. It says here, ohaliva is all alone. Because her sister, ohola, has gone into exile. She's been nishva. She's been captured. That's clearly a reference to Sancheiriv exiling the Aseres Hashvatim. You cannot argue on this one, right? What? Amayevsky, you okay? Are you okay with this?
I have to think you're triggering a lot of thoughts. Yeah.
Amichol, everything okay so far? Fact finder.
You would have heard about it.
Fact finder. Now next already is well documented. Who al Aryeh the lion? Here's a little, I have some chidushin here for you. Who al Aryeh? Who's the Aryeh? Aryeh is the lion, is the Nebuchadnezzar. Misubichov, Mis Thicket, the lion. Al Ariel upon the base, Hamigdash Vihisbichoy, and he confused it. Vihigla Misuko Minchasov Nisko. Who's the Mincha Vinisko? This is the Golos of Yechonia. The Chorosh, the Hamasker. The Chorosh and the Masker, they were 11 years before the Chorban. Yechonia was exiled by who? By Nebuchadnezzar. Not by Nebuzaradan. By Nebuchadnezzar. They were exiled. Who were the Chorosh and Hamasker? The Talmidei Chachamim. And what are Talmidei Chachamim? L'chu lachamu b'lachmi u'shesu b'yein whatever it says there, the wine. Wine and bread is compared to Torah. And it says here, v'chu glom misukah from the sukah, from the Beis HaMikdash, from Eretz Yisrael, the mincha, the Talmidei Chachamim. This was the next national tragedy, the Golus of Golus of Yechonya, 11 years before the Churban Beis HaMikdash. What?
Mordechai.
No, Mordechai is later. Mordechai was part of the Chorsha Maske. That's right, part of the Chorsha Maske. Okay, next. The Horak, now we come 11 years later. The actual Churban. The actual Churban, Chazal tell us there were 80,000 Kohanim hidden in the Beis HaMikdash. And they were wiped out. The Horak, this is 11 years, the next national tragedy. The Horak, Hamoinim, a multitude of people were killed. Meshuche Shmonim. Shmonim, those that were anointed with all the Kohanim, the Ivui in its abode, Nimnim, Pirchei Kohanim, Alofim, Shmonim, 80,000. That's Chazal. 80,000 Kohanim were killed at the time of the Chor Beis HaMikdash. What? No, it means they were Kohanim. It means that it's an expression. It means they were the real Kohanim. It doesn't mean that, yeah, it means they were the Kohanim. The Bayis Rishon had Shem HaMishcha. The Bayis Rishon, yeah. The Bayis Sheni, there was no Shem HaMishcha. Yoshiyahu was Goynez of 22 years, he was Goynez of Shem HaMishcha. Okay, next. Now we come to the next stage of Korban, of Nebuzaradan. Nebuzaradan, he killed like a million, like a million people on the rock in revenge for Zechariah ben Yehoyada. Zinvam kichriv hidvi, he cut them off like a snake. And he bit them. The Azara Samaldi in the Azara of the line of the Beis HaMikdash. Arioch is the baby line. That's Nivuzardon, the general. Kimolovi, like Nivuchanetzar. Aldam Koin Benovi. Clear as day, that refers to the next Korban that happened, that was part of the Korban, was over a million people were killed on a rock by Nivuzardon in order to appease the blood of Zechariah ben Yehoyada. So we're going here in order. What happened on Tisha B'Av? There were five tragedies that happened on Tisha B'Av. And one of the tragedies was Turnus Rufus. He plowed over the Beis HaMikdash, not at the time on Tisha B'Av, when?
No.
Later. How many years later? Whatever. A couple of years later, whenever it was. I don't think it's clear when he did it. Turnus Rufus, he plowed over. It's one of the five things that happened on Tisha B'Av. It didn't happen at the time of the Korban. It happened a couple of years later. Charash L'mashuos, Ir Malaya Teshuos. He plowed it over. A city that's full of teshuos, ubatei soifrim, mishnayos, yosem, me'arbameos. 400 in the city, there were 400 batei midrashim. It's a chazal. 400 batei midrashim were destroyed. Okay, that concludes the korban of the bayis. Now we go forward. Who's the next golus? After korban of the after golus, the golus of Bavel comes Paras u'Madai. Paras Madai is the story of Purim. So Tosa Madai flew le'abed Chamudai, my Chamudai, my precious ones. I believe this refers to Daniel. Daniel was killed by Haman. Haman, Ish Chamudos. He was killed by Haman. Haman is a representative of the Malchus of Madai, even though it's really Paras, but they go together. Paras u'Madai. U'moshel b'machamadai. And it means that he prevented the Beis HaMikdash from being rebuilt. The Beis HaMikdash is the precious place of the world. Bikori Madai, when I rip my clothing. Yoatzo Lechanek, then it comes to the Gzera. In other words, he killed Daniel, and he prevented, he issued a sitna not to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And the next thing that Muhammad did was Lahashmid Lahara Gula Abin is called Hayhudna Minarvi Adzokin Yotzal Khanik Binigur Bizanik, like the Don shape, the Don. That's a mystery. Why we focus on Don? I don't know why we focus on Don. The Pechal the Shanik at one pel the Shanik to cut off Zokin the Yoshish Ul of the Yonik, that's clearly the Gzer of Haman. What? Bine Gur. Yeah. Don Gur Arye. Don
Gur Arye Yehuda. It could be Ish Yehudi.
Mizanik Yizanik Min Habashon. Don, but it says from Yehuda, from Yehuda to Don. Gur Mizanek. You want to say from Yehuda, who's Yidur, all the way to the lowest of the Shvatim of Dan. Maybe that's from the whole Klal Yisrael. Oh, I like that. Okay.
Well, he was
Maaseh. He was Maaseh. So that's Dan. So first, in this expression, B'nei Gur Mizanek. There are two expressions. So Gur, you want to say, is Yehuda, the Rosh of all the Shvatim. Mizanek is Dan. He wanted to wipe out the entire Klal Yisrael, from the greatest of the Shvatim to the lowest of the Shvatim. Let's go quick. Next. Now we come to the next skull of Yavan. Okay, this is already, this document, this is clear as day. Kavdol Shlishis, the third Malchus. Al Kodesh Reishis, B'shesef Harish, a deafening Rishis. Basel L'Hashis, L'Chatzol L'Chalek, he counseled to destroy B'nei Cholek V'Cholek, Shein L'Chem Chelek, B'Shein Eish Tolek, Kislu L'Chem Al Karen Ashar, Shein L'Chem Chelek V'Lokei Yisrael. This expression clearly, this document refers to the Golos of Yavan. Now we come to Golos Edoim. Mar the Edoim, Adusha Sodoim, the pot, the red lentils, the Otsa the Zodom Abed case for Hadoim. Okay, they destroyed the Bayesheni. What more do you want? They destroyed the Bayesheni. The case for Hadoim, the case of the Beis Hamikdash. They destroyed the Bayesheni. This is Rome. Now we continue. No Aduim Admoim, who participated?
What did it say? Adushas.
Lentils, adushas odoyim, lentils that are red. Who is lentils that are red? This is Edom. Next, noadu ma'adon, who gathered with admoin, moyav amoin, lahashpis amoin, to destroy the base, hamish laharchiv amoin, who joined Rome. It says here this requires more research. What exactly this means? But I think there's a Chazal. Amon and Moyav, that was the Bayis Sheni. They came to the Bayis. That was the Bayis Rishon, I thought.
That they were joined by the locals.
By the locals. The locals came to go and destroy the Beis Hamikdash. Okay, so we're finished with the Churban Beis Hamikdash. Now, by the way, when did the Kalir live? Kalir lived when? Practically at this time. Stama, maybe a little later. Okay, just keep that in mind. Sila Kol Abirai. This clearly refers to Beitar. What was the next national tragedy? Beta, Sila Kol Abirai, the Erech Averai, Vuhuvgulu Gibarai, the Asara Harugi Malchus. Abirai of Betar, and the Asara Harugi Malchus were killed in the Tkufa of Betar. Le'en Kol Avrai, period. Okay, so now we've gone to Betar, Asara Harugi Malchus. Next. Oifa Navshi Lahorgim, Lemisvar Harugim, Ka'ayol Orgim, Rolechon Herogim. This refers to the First Crusade. How do you like that? The First Crusade. Why do I say the First Crusade? Because the key word is the Ayol Orgim. The Ayol Orgim is an expression, a very powerful expression of people that are longing to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a poetic expression which is used in reference to the First Crusade, how the people, they sacrifice their children to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that they should not be taken and converted to Christianity. And this pasuk effect, oifa nafshi lahargim, we were extremely weakened. The tragedy of the First Crusade was noyla v'ayim. V'olechaner, I mean, it's clear, I think this really, really fits the description of the First Crusade. Then we go to the 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th Crusade. No, there were 10 Crusades. Some of them were shvach, but there were a total of 10 Crusades. And that's what it says now. Pulatsu b'yoyim karov, I was terrified. On days of battle, b'mizrach uvemarav, all of the Crusades was the battle against the East and the West. The East are the Christians, the West are the Muslims. Al domam, what? Mizrach. I'm sorry. Mizrach is the Muslims. Marav is the West. I'm sorry, are the Christians. Al domam uudav kahol the amberav. All of the tragedies that went on for the next few 200 years. Okay, so there's the next now. Now we go on the next 600, 700, 800 years. Okay, we're coming soon to the 20th century. This is the 19th century. Tsorois, al tsorois, zoom, izum, itsirois, gedoilois, uvatsuros, aluchos, vloikitsoros. Pogroms, blood libels, inquisition, expulsions, you name it. Okay, all of those things went on for the next 600 years. Now we come to World War I, World War II. Kashut sinasam. For Hargu Chanisam, they girded their shields. For Hargu, they girded their swords. For Asu Machanoisam, the Machanois, all of the armies gathered. The Herichu Lemanisam, and they extended furrows. In other words, they waged world wars. This is clearly a reference to World War I, World War II, and maybe some of the wars in Russia that were right before. Next, Next comes the Holocaust. Rabbi San Chosai, the Atsumos Kinoisai. My woe, my kinois are awesome. Rabu Nahamoisai, the Ato Hashem Admosai. How long can this go on? Is this not describing the Holocaust? Okay. Next, the state of Israel is established. That's a good thing. But with that came the United Nations. And what did the United Nations have done since 1948 every single day? Shamato cherposam cherfuni bisvasam. They abuse us. Shiftam vikimosam. When they sit down, when they get up, this is the second half of the 20th century. Ani manginosam. We are the topic of insult.
Always the
topic of insult. Then we come to Golos Yishmael. He's summarizing here in one line the essence of Golos Yishmael. They say to Klal Yisrael, what are you doing in Eretz Yisrael? You have no claim to the land. Tikvaschem Eifa, what is your hope? Maluchem Paul, what are you doing here? What are you doing in Eretz Yisrael? Get out. Where are you going to go? I don't know, but get out. Chora Apo, the Ein Olirpo. This is clearly, this is
Intifada.
Now, this is the hardest line. Baruch Hashem, I cracked the code. The hardest line. The last line. What comes after? Now, this is a chiddush, but listen, you tell me what you think of this. The last line is, after the whole, all the national tragedies, we've gone through the whole history of Klal Yisrael, what more can we want? Already we're holding it, wearing at the end. Teshuvoseichem nisharamal. Your answers are nonsense. Hoinuni mak me, or torment me, the oivde habal. Habal? We're going back to prehistoric times, people who worship the Baal? What does this mean? So I want to suggest this means as follows. Baal, if you study Tanakh, Baal doesn't appear all that much in Tanakh. The first time is the Gidoin, and then you have with Eliyahu Bahar HaKarmel. Baal, you know what Baal really means? It means us. It means when one Jew, you know, you have to be very careful how you interpret this, not to insult, not say in the right way. Let's just say it like this. Eliyahu said, Mosai ata poseach al shnei hasi'ifim. Im la Hashem, l'chu acharof. V'im la Baal, l'chu acharof. Baal is always used in Tanakh as a reference when Jews are fighting against Jews. Or when the Jew himself has a conflict from within himself. The very, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Gideon, the Malach came to Gideon, the first thing that the Malach said to Gideon was, Gideon, the first mission. Demolish the Mizbeach of the Baal. He did it. He was supposed to do it in public. He was afraid. He did it in the middle of the night. And then they woke up in the morning, and it says that who's Mizbeach of Baal? It was his father's Mizbeach. His father and his family and the city. When they wake up in the morning, his own family and own city look around and they say, who demolished the Mizbeach of Baal? We're going to kill him. One group of Jews wants to go kill another group of Jews. There's a group of Jews who are not with the program. And they're trying to destroy the other group who are with the program. Pinchas comes to the Jews and he says, you know, you have to make a decision. You want to worship the Baal. He's not going to the Goyim. He's not focusing on an enemy from the outside. He's focusing on an enemy from the inside. The Oivdei Habal are, we are the Oivdei Habal. It is the conflict. It is symbolic of the conflict that is within us. That's the way Baal, this requires further study. In the internal enemy. After all of the Golusim, after Bavel, Sancheiriv, with Asher and Yovan, and Modai, and Yishmael, there's another Golus. You know what the worst Golus is? Ourselves. Even after Yishmael, there comes another Golus. We put ourselves in Golus. We fight among ourselves. We have different groups. Unfortunately, they're not yet Shomer Shabbos. They make trouble for us. We make trouble among ourselves. We have internal conflicts. We have contradictions within ourselves. We are the Oivdei Habal. Isn't that what Eliyahu said to Klal Yisrael?
We have met the enemy and he is us.
Exactly. We have met. It's a good, very good. I like that.
This, Kelly.
This is the last Golus. is ourselves. The Oyv Dehabal. Oyv Dehabal, the Sin Asinam, the Oyv Dehabal. We are the Oyv Dehabal. And Yashkif Mimal Moirish of Yol until Techias HaMesim. So here we have Kina Chav Ches is a synopsis of Jewish history. Or more specifically, the suffering of Klal Yisrael throughout history.
And Chav Ches.
Koyach, to overcome this, to expand. May you all have a very meaningful and very easy fast.